Number of weeks we've been talking about prayer, and last week we talked about how we need to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, because God responds to our prayer, amen? And so we're called to do that, and I believe that, honestly, prayers offered with the right heart, the right attitude, the right motivation, they're never a waste. They're never offered in vain, and He hears every prayer, and He hears every cry, amen? And so We also talked about how our faith really matters, that God responds to faith. I mean, we got saved initially because we even had just a little bit of faith. That's all it takes. But we had to believe. And so our faith matters, and faith in prayer is huge. We talked about a few weeks ago how God has put His power in us, the Bible says, right? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And there are some other scriptures that talk about the power of heaven in us, and we're called to release that as His children. It's our inheritance, that many things have been paid for on the cross. You don't have to beg God to see if He's in a good mood. It's been done for you. And so we pray out of that, and the confidence in knowing who we are. And I really hope that in all of this too, we understand that prayer is more about being with someone than getting something from Him. And so prayer is an invitation to relationship. It's an invitation to intimacy. It's an invitation to knowing God personally. It's not about what can I get. Amen? This morning, I want to talk to you about something that's challenging to us, and that's, why is it that sometimes prayer isn't answered? Anybody ever been there? Wondered, hey God, what's up? Prayer is powerful, but at times confusing, if I'm honest, right? Because I don't know about you, but I've seen God do some pretty incredible things. And then sometimes you pray for something or someone, and it seems like no response. Nothing happens. And we have to go, God, why? And we look at the Bible, which is the word that we have, and we see some pretty amazing things happening when people pray. We see God do some phenomenal things. I mean, you think about Joshua chapter 10. Joshua prayed that the sun would stand still, and it stood still. And yet I've prayed for some pretty minor illnesses sometimes, and nothing seems to happen. And I look at Elijah in 1 Kings 18, you know, where he called down from heaven fire, and it came and burned up the altar and the false prophets of Baal. And Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel prayed and the lions turned vegan. You know, they didn't eat him. And yet I've prayed for family members for years to come to know the Lord, and I still haven't seen that happen. And so we have to wrestle with Scripture. We have to wrestle with our faith, with God. We have to wrestle to understand, Lord, why is it that things don't always play out the way that we think they should or seem like, you know, that we want? And I want to read you some Scriptures today. I'm going to throw a lot at you. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it. See, there's verses like that in the Bible that make you go, well, what's up? How come God, you're not like a McDonald's drive-thru and I just get what I want when I want right now? Nobody here has ever felt that way. But have you ever had a prayer not answered and you begin to think, God, do you care? God, do you hear me? God, are you there? God, is something wrong? And so in the midst of talking about prayer, and I think just overall as a theme this year, maturing and growing as Christians, I want to help build an understanding of the nature of God and the purpose of prayer. And I hope that some of this will help today. And I'll just tell you right now, I don't have all the answers. That's my big disclaimer. Some of this is way above my pay grade. But I don't know if you've noticed this, but our culture is very self-centered. We want everything to be about us, and we believe it's all about us. And we need to understand when we approach Scripture that we are actually not the main character in the story. God does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve Him. He doesn't exist for us, but us for Him. And I think if we can even keep that in mind when we approach the Lord, it helps. Because sometimes we get this entitled attitude that I deserve it all right now. And God, if you didn't answer this second the way I thought, there's something wrong. I don't believe you. We get this bitterness or this hardness sometimes that can grow in our hearts because of unanswered prayer. The purpose of prayer is not to get God to do our will. I hope that doesn't disappoint you. He's not our puppet. But the purpose of prayer is to get to know God. He's an intimate and relational God. He's not like a Santa Claus where he has our list, our wish list, and he checks if we've been naughty or nice all year to see if whether he gives us something. That's not how it works either. He doesn't sit there and go, oh, I saw the way you drove to church this morning. I saw you curse out so-and-so this week. I saw you flip someone the bird. I saw who you voted for. Uh-uh. It's not like that. He's not like the Costco touchscreen thing where I order my ice cream or hot dog or whatever and pay and here it comes. But we're called and invited into relationship with him, to actually personally know him. And it is a walk of faith. It's a journey. And some of it's a mystery, and some of it we have laid out clearly for us. But prayer at its root is, again, for us to get to know him, to understand and recognize that I need him, that I need to rely on him, that it's not all about me and I can't do it on my own. I need him to be partnered with him. Amen? I also want to just really point out that we should never build a theology or doctrine around a single verse that we pull out of somewhere in the Bible. But we need to have context and build our belief system around the entire Bible, and not, you know, sometimes it's really easy to just take one verse that we like and just pull that out and make it say what we want to say. We need to understand the context in the sense that who's writing it, who's it written to, what was the historical context, like what was going on. And also what's really important to understand is that we use the Bible to interpret the Bible. And so we have to look at all the whole narrative in some of these themes. So as an example, prayer. You might have one verse about prayer that you think about. Now you need to look at the rest of the Bible, and what does the rest of the Bible say about prayer? And it helps give the full picture of God's heart towards it. Amen? And so we use scripture, and we use the whole idea, the narrative of what is going on, to help us get a fuller grasp of this. And I mean, some of us have probably said something like, I prayed for a loved one and they still passed away. Why? Why didn't he answer? And again, I want to say that in a lot of this, there's a lot of mystery, and I don't know. I don't know why some prayers aren't answered. I do know that scripture gives us some possibilities. And I'm just going to run through a few of these. I had made a list of this a while ago because I thought when we talk about prayer, it's important to do this. I heard a message by Craig Rochelle recently talking about this as well, and so I'm going to use some of his thoughts. But here's some things. If you're taking notes, you can write these down and think about it later. But number one, maybe you have a broken relationship with others and it hinders your intimacy with God, and therefore it hinders your prayer. Do you know that the way we do relationship with other people matters to God? And so in Mark 11, Jesus is giving his disciples a lesson on faith. And he says to them, you can ask for anything, like something as crazy as throwing a mountain into the sea. And it'll be moved if you don't doubt. Mark 11:24, let's read it. I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it'll be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. And so again, there's this picture of if you believe, anything is possible. But verse 25 gives us this hint that God cares about how we treat others. If you hold something against anyone, forgive them so that the Father in heaven may forgive you. If you've been a parent before and you've had kids that just get on the fight, my kids have never done this, but just hypothetically, if my kids are scrapping over everything, and anything they can, like, there's just some days, you know? And And it's like whatever they can find, they want to fight about for whatever reason. And then all of a sudden, it's like a light switch goes off and they turn around and they're like, can we have friends over? Can we watch a movie? Can we do this? Can we have ice cream? And you're like, no. And why is that? Because they've been misbehaving. And sometimes I think we don't understand that the way we treat others matters to God. And we have to get some of these areas cleaned up in our life if we honestly expect to be close to Him. Matthew 5:24, again, there's this scripture. You know, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. So again, sometimes, again, not always, but sometimes if we're saying, God, why is my prayer not being answered? Maybe there's a mess in a relationship that you need to deal with. Amen? All right, secondly, sometimes we have the wrong motive when we pray. I know none of you would ever do that, but I have to admit that sometimes I've prayed some pretty self-centered prayers. God, I'd like this to happen for me, so that I can gain, so that I can win in this or whatever. You know, the Pharisees prayed like that, and the Bible talks about how the Pharisees love to go out in the street and pray these extravagant, long-winded, loud prayers. And it wasn't to draw close to God or to hear from Him, it was to garnish the praise of everybody else. Wow, I just so love it when you pray. You are amazing. Like, just the way that you use those words, you are so spiritual. And, you know, they're longing for that praise from people. And it's the wrong motive. How does that apply to you or me in our lives? Craig, in his example of this, he says, you know, people that have businesses, sometimes they say, God bless my business, but they refuse to give. They refuse to tithe. They refuse to be generous. And you wonder why. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So why did God not answer a prayer? Maybe it's from a broken relationship. Maybe it's from wrong motives. Maybe we don't have faith. Maybe we don't believe. In Mark 9, there's a boy who was possessed with a spirit, and it would try and kill the boy. And the dad goes to the disciples and says, can you help? Can you deliver this child? And the disciples couldn't cast it out. And Jesus almost sounds concerned. He's like, do you guys have any faith? and he's in Mark 9. Let's read the first few verses. You can hear this. It has often thrown him, this is referring to the son who's filled with this evil spirit. It's often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can, listen to what the dad says here. If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. The dad doesn't sound that convinced though, does he? And I love his honest response. In verse 24, let's read this. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. I can't speak for all of you, but I know at moments my faith has really lacked when I've gone to pray for people or certain situations. And it's funny because, you know, I've seen God heal a lot of things. I've seen Him heal arthritis. I've seen Him heal broken bones. I've seen Him heal. I've seen Him start a heart that was dead. I've seen Him heal cancer. I've seen Him do a lot of amazing things. And yet sometimes when I pray, I still don't have a lot of faith. There's still moments where I really doubt. It's interesting too, because, you know, as a pastor, I get phone calls when on highs and lows that are going on with people. Nobody calls me and says, help, I'm having a normal day. Okay? But sometimes you get asked and called to pray in certain situations, and sometimes, like, I'll be honest with you, there's times I've gone to pray for people and I don't even have to pray. I 1,000% know they're going to be healed, and it's like a gift of faith. You just have faith. There's other times you go to pray and it's like, Lord, I got nothing, but I'm going to pray anyway. But some, you know, our faith does matter, doesn't it? And I think Scripture is so clear that faith matters to God. We're made right with God by faith. And Jesus said several times, according to your faith, you know, they were healed. I'm going to read some of these scriptures to you. Just a few of them, Matthew 9:22. Jesus turned and saw her. And this is the lady who had the issue with bleeding. And he said, take heart, daughter. He said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. In Luke 7:50, there was an immoral woman who knelt down and worshiped Jesus. And he said, go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Matthew 9:29 and 30, there were two blind guys who wanted to be healed. And Jesus asked them, do you want to be healed? He touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, see that no one knows about this. So again, according to your faith. So faith matters. It's not a one-off scripture. It's not a one-time event in the Bible. But we see that faith matters to God. And I'm just going to be honest with you. This is an area that I think all of us, but I know especially myself, I wrestle with the Lord with this area. God, how does this work? And part of it is a mystery. I know that faith matters. I know that it works. I know that I need more all the time. I also understand that there are abuses in this area that we see sometimes in our culture. And I want the Lord to help. I want greater revelation in how to apply faith, how to grow my faith, how to use faith. How does it all work? I see things where, you know, you have people that talk about prosperity or faith healing, prosperity gospel, where it's like a distortion if you take it to the extreme where you go too far, and it begins to say, you know, if you have enough faith, God has to do something. He has to. It's like that you can manipulate or strong arm him or force him. And somewhere there, we get into this distorted view of how God works. And it's dangerous. Because here's what ends up happening ultimately with some of that thinking, is that we put our faith in faith instead of our faith in God. And that's the point, wherever that is, that I know we get into trouble. Does that make sense? Our faith can't be in faith. Our faith has to be in God. And at the same time, you cannot ignore the full narrative in Scripture of how faith matters so much to God. And faith moves God. Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing the good news of the gospel. So here's my encouragement to you as you wrestle with this. And I know I'm wrestling with this. God, I want to grow. I want to know more. I want to understand. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your focus on him. In all of this, remind yourself, what has Jesus done? What has he paid for? What has he accomplished on the cross for me? And in the lens of through Jesus, how does faith work? And if you can keep Jesus as the center of everything when you approach this, you won't go off. I think of stories like Jesus turning water into wine. And I think of how he told his mom, hey, it's not my time. And she, in faith, said to all the people standing there, do whatever he says. And her faith moved God, moved heaven. And I want to encourage you and challenge you to have and not lose that simple faith, to believe that all things are possible, those who believe. To trust, to pray that God is good and he hears your prayer. Amen? And I think it's okay to have prayers like what the Father prayed with his Son. Lord, help my unbelief. We have to be careful not to judge other people who are walking this faith journey out in a different place than us. And we're all trying to figure this out. And so you might say, hey, I'm good in my relationships. I have the right motives when I pray. I do have faith, and yet I still haven't seen God answer my prayer. And to that, I think that sometimes this is what we have to wrestle with. Sometimes God has something different for us. 1 John 5:14-15. We are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. Or in another version, it says, according to his will. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Again, a very bold statement saying you can pray and expect. But it's according to what pleases him, according to his will. Well, what is that? We have to wrestle that out. I believe that this is where the abiding with Christ, the intimacy, the relationship with him comes into play. That we are listening to what he's calling us to do and step into. And we know his heart. It's not if we ask according to what we feel like, what we want, what we hope for, but according to what pleases him, according to his will. Can I give you an example of how this works in Genesis chapter 17, the story of Abraham and Sarah? God said no to Abraham's request for Ishmael to be the chosen seed, the chosen one, and blessed him with another kid, right? Let's read this. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarah, Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. And Abraham fell face down. He laughed and he said to himself, will a son be born to a woman 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. And so Abraham is hoping and thinking, Lord, his request is, Lord, just let the kid I've got be the one. Like, here's my plan, right? And God says, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I just think this is important to see. God redirects and says, I know you prayed for this, but actually I have another plan. You're going to have another kid. But as for Ishmael, I've heard you. And so even though Abraham was praying for him to be the one and to be blessed, this is what God says. He doesn't ignore that prayer. He says, I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will be greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers and I will make him into a great nation. Do you see how God sometimes has a different plan than we do? And it's not that he doesn't hear our prayer, but he might redirect. Another example you could use in scripture is the story of the Apostle Paul, who talks about having a thorn in his flesh. And you can read different theologians. They all seem to disagree on what it is, you know, that he's talking about, whether it's a physical ailment, whether it's an actual person, because boy, they can be a thorn too. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. Or a spiritual thing. You know, it could be any of them. But what we know is that God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you. In the midst of that. And Paul is the guy who wrote a third of the New Testament, who saw a lot of wild miracles and probably had a lot of faith. And yet God said, not now. My grace is enough for you. And so sometimes I think when we go through things, we're wrestling and saying, God, why not? Why not now? What's happening? And he has something different for us. I think it's also okay in the midst of unanswered prayers to ask God, what's going on? In fact, I think it's a good thing to do. God, why am I not hearing an answer? What is going on? And sometimes he reveals that, you know what, your motive is off. This is off. That's off. Sometimes he might just say, keep praying. It's not my timing yet. Sometimes, you know, I think we get to that place where it's like, well, why pray? I mean, everything has to be just right. And even then, it seems like it doesn't always do what I'm asking anyway. And I just remind you, the purpose of prayer is to draw close to God, to get to know him, to not just get something from him. And there has to be this trust in mystery of, I don't understand, God, but I trust you. I trust in your goodness. I trust in your faithfulness. I'm going to do what I know to do, and that's to keep going after you. I'm going to give you a few more scriptures here, what the Bible says about unanswered prayer. Another reason might be that you ignore the poor. So to Proverbs 21:13, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. That's a pretty clear one. James 1, verse 5 and 6. We can doubt sometimes that God will show us or give us the wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And so again, we can't doubt. We need to trust that God is a good father who gives us good gifts. Isaiah 1:15 says, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I'm not listening. Your hands are full of blood. And so there's violence, unjust violence. And I think even to some extent, this would apply today in the way that we treat other Christians. Hurting people and attacking people, that the way that we treat others matters. I forgot to mention this one earlier, 1 Peter 3:7. You know, when it comes to how our relationships matter, how we treat our wives matter. I don't know why there isn't one for, you know, wives back to husbands, but there's just a verse that says, treat your wives well, or your prayers will be hindered. I guess if I was to say the Paul's translation would be, if you act like a jerketh, your prayer is not heard. All right? Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. And if those who are wondering, because when you read that, you go, hey, what do you mean weaker? I've looked that up, and it's talking about the physical stance, all right? It's not saying that you're not equal as a spiritual person, all right? Just to be clear. The Bible many times refers to men and women as equal. So don't go there. All right. Another one that I think matters is that we love our sin sometimes. Psalm 66, verse 18. It says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Sometimes we just are comfortable living in sin. We shouldn't be. The Holy Spirit will be convicting you, but sometimes we're just, you know, well, I did good here and I did good there, but this just area, I just am happy and content to just let that linger. And God is not okay with sin in our hearts and in our lives. And so we have to deal with it. And the Bible tells us that that sin, again, destroys our intimacy with the Lord, and it will hinder our prayer. And I think, too, there's a difference between, I know there's a difference between unintentional sin and a path of continuous habitual sin, where we just continue to choose to live in it. And it's a problem. And as a child of God, we should never be okay with that. Proverbs 28, verse 9 says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. And then the last one I got here is that, you know, we mistreat God's people. And this comes out of Micah 3. It says, you who hate good and love evil, who tear the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones. This is PG. Who eat my people's flesh, strip off their skin and break their bones in pieces, who chop them up like meat for the pan, like flesh for the pot. Then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. And at that time, he will hide his face from them because of the evil they have done. This is what the Lord says. As for the prophets who lead my people astray, they proclaim peace if they have something to eat, but prepare to wage war against anyone who refuses to feed them. And so again, the way we treat other people matters. Maybe you've been in a prayer slump. I'm just going to confess, I am cheering for the Canucks. And sometimes hockey players get in a scoring slump. And there's a few on my team that it's like, hey, what happened? Maybe you feel like you're in a slump in prayer. And you know what they do with athletes when they struggle? Is they tell them, you keep going. You keep going, doing the things you know to do that got you where you are. And with prayer, I encourage you, just keep praying. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Don't give up. Prayer is powerful. Prayer can be confusing. Prayer can be hard. But I believe that my faith isn't based on what I see, but who God is. My faith is based on a who, not a what. And I believe in the goodness and the nature of God. And I believe that without faith, it's impossible to please him. I think of the stories, and this is, it's interesting, as I've read about people who have healing ministries. Many of them prayed for literally hundreds. Some of them talk about how I prayed for 800, 900 people before actually one got healed. I've never counted, so it's always interesting to me, but people do count. And they say it takes that long sometimes before they learn to break through. Or God begins to respond, or whatever, he grows that faith in them. Whatever the journey is, whatever the process is, I don't understand some of that. Then you hear about people like Heidi Baker, who literally prayed for like 1,000 people for deaf ears. And now in Mozambique, Somebody was saying that basically anyone with a deaf ear in Mozambique, when she prays for them, they're healed. That's wild. She spends her time in the garbage dumps praying for kids who are left behind, who are thrown out. An incredible missionary. Her and her team of lead pastors have seen, they've got documented hundreds of people raised from the dead. That's pretty cool. I remember one of the first times I heard her speak, and she talked about how on a regular basis they would have food multiplied because they would never have enough. She had a conference one time, and in Africa, and I get this because I've been there, people are hungry. And they had these meetings, and they had nowhere near enough food. They had a couple big pots of food. They had enough food, I think it was for 100 people. And a couple thousand people showed up. And she had a team of Westerners there, of Americans and Canadians, and they were getting stressed because people were getting angry because they were hungry. They had showed up and they expected to be fed the word, but also physically they expected to be fed. And the people in the kitchen were incredibly stressed out. Anybody ever had more people than you thought show up to something and you're like, oh boy. And she said, I love opportunities like that because I love when Westerners are there. They don't expect this kind of stuff to happen. And so she said they prayed. And then she asked the whole Western team, you guys go deliver the food. And so they all started dishing out the soup and the stew, whatever it was they had. And they kept handing it out and it kept feeding people until everybody ate. I love that. God is able, you guys. And so in the midst of sometimes it's really frustrating and we look and go, why? We can't lose sight of who God is. And his invitation that faith works, that prayer works, that we're called to see him move because he's a good God. So don't stop praying. God is close to the brokenhearted. Do you know that when you pray and ask God for forgiveness, he hears that prayer every time? When you pray and ask to meet God, God will meet you wherever you are. Those are the kind of prayers that he never misses and he always answers. I want to end with this thought. I was reading something by Rick Warren and he said this. He says, there's four ways that God answers prayer. God will answer prayer even if we don't like the answer, but this is what he says. He says, number one, when my request is not right, God says no. He says, number two, when I'm not right, God says grow. And he says, I have a blessing so big it'll blow your mind, but your character can't handle it right now. And so then he says, the third one he says is when the timing is not right, God says slow. And he referred to Habakkuk, who says, don't be discouraged if the vision is not filled overnight. Surely it will happen. It will not be overdue a single day. And it's like God says, we'll take this slow until you're actually ready to handle this. And then fourthly, when your request is right, the timing is right, and your character is lined up, then God says, go. So he says, no, he says, grow, he says, slow, and then he says, go, when the time is right. Sometimes God is waiting for our character to come into alignment because we couldn't handle what we're praying for. Sometimes we're praying for something that might harm us and we don't know it. Can you trust in God and his faithfulness and his goodness that he knows what's best for you as a good father? And he cares about you. And so sometimes when we don't see the things that, even when we think that what we're praying is right, and that we've done everything we know to do and we're still not seeing the answer, can we trust that he's good and he's faithful and he's not holding back to harm us or to hurt us? Let's pray. Lord, it says in the Psalms that delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You tell us, Lord, that no good thing you'll withhold from those who walk uprightly. God, you tell us that we can ask anything in your name. And there's so many things, Lord, that we don't fully understand or grasp, and that's why this is a faith walk. This is a faith journey. And Lord, I do know that you've called us to pray, to be people of prayer, and that prayer does work. And prayer works in that it draws us close to you, and that it causes us to be dependent on you. And it, Lord, prayer is designed for us to have relationship with you, to be with you, to spend time with you, to get to know you. And I pray today that you would just put a heart of prayer in us as a church, that we would pray more, that we would not just talk about prayer, that we would not just agree that prayer is nice and good, but that we would actually pray, that we would spend time listening to you, getting to know you. God, that we would surrender our will and our dreams and our demands, God, to you and say, God, not mine, but your will be done. Lord, show me your way. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to not have unbelief, that we would believe. And God, we know that you're a wonder-working, miracle-working God. Lord, that you bring breakthrough, that you bring healing, that you bring provision, that you can look after your children in whatever area of need that we have. God, we don't always understand why in moments when we pray that we know that you could do something and yet you don't seem to. Help us, God, to understand some of those situations. Help us to continue in our faith, to persist, to press in, and to not give up or to lose hope. Help us to trust, God, that you have what's best in store for us, even though life throws things at us that do not make sense. God, I pray that if any of us have bitterness in our heart or hardness in our heart towards you because of things that we haven't seen happen or prayers that we've prayed maybe for decades, God, and haven't seen breakthrough or disappointments or loved ones who've gone through pain or death or whatever it might be, and we go, why, God, why? Where are you? God, I pray that we would not hold anything in our heart against you. But Lord, help us to trust. Help us to trust that you're a good father. Help us to trust that you are here and you hear every single cry. And God, I pray that as we focus on you, on Jesus, and the good news of the gospel, that you died and rose again, that you conquered sickness and death, that we would believe, and that our faith would grow, and that we would have greater expectation that you are alive and with us, and you care. And Lord, just like Mary when she prayed, God, even if it's not the timing that you had in mind, our faith can move mountains. So I pray, God, that we would have the understanding that we can pray and ask for anything, and we can keep knocking and asking and receiving. And even just like Abraham, where maybe we're not praying exactly the right thing, God, you can redirect and show us. No, Ishmael's not the one. I got another kid for you. But I'm going to bless that one too, because I heard you. I pray that we be a people who believe, a people that will go after. And God, I pray that we would go after everything that you have available to us. So that, God, that we would understand, like, why wouldn't I pray for every sick person I see? Why wouldn't I pray for every hard situation that I see? God, if what I'm seeing on earth doesn't line up with what it's supposed to look like in heaven, Lord, help me to have faith and pray. To expect to see you to move, because it's who you are. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking for faith to grow in us. And I pray that you would heal every wound, every disappointment. And help us to believe, help us to trust. Help us to pursue you and persist. In Jesus' name. How many of you this morning would like more prayer in your life? Like, you just like to see more intimacy with him.